Hey, what up, Long Beach, and a happy holiday season to you and yours. Once again, welcome back to your home for everything local sports in our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Garabasio.
What's going on, everybody? Super excited to be bringing you this. It's not quite the Jingle Bells edition of What Up, Long Beach, but we're closing in on the Jingle Bells edition,
JJ. It's definitely the last full edition of What Up, Long Beach for the year 2019, because we will be giving you your best of the year, best of the decade, and what we're looking forward to in 2020.
Yeah, we've got some exciting, like JJ said, end of year, end of decade, start of 2020 episodes coming up the next 3 weeks, so definitely keep an eye out for those. Should spark some fun conversations around the Yule log or whatever it is you set on fire at your household. We are in the offices of the Long Beach Post. What up, Long Beach? And everything we're doing at the 562.org is brought to you by lbpost.com and our friends at the Post, who've got a dog in the office now. An office dog. I don't think we've ever had that at an office that we've been around.
In the radio business, we call that a preemptive drop.
Yeah, I just, you know, should you hear just any barking in the background, which happened while we're prepping. JJ. It wasn't JJ. It's not even me. I'm pretty sure it's not me. But anyway, be aware.
We bring you the sports at the 562.org. They bring you the news at the Long Beach Post, and both are made possible by community donations. The 562.org is a nonprofit organization ready to give you all of the sports coverage that you're ready to help us provide. So get to the website, hit that subscribe button, top right-hand corner of the page. We've also got merchandise for the 562.org available right now at Name Your Game. So hit up Name Your Game. Tell Tom that the 562.org sent you.
The holiday season means lots and lots of food. If you're at all like my family, we've got an Italian family. My wife's family also likes to eat quite a bit. And I can't keep up with the cooking. So I'm very happy we've got Naples Rib Company, just a phone call or a click away on the computer. Great for to-go orders. Great for dining in. You got family in town. You don't feel like cooking for 30 people. Go down to Naples Rib Company and tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
This is the victory lap for the O of the Week segment here in 2019. Questions, athletes, lists, game, player, quote of the week coming at you for Long Beach Sports right now at What Up Long Beach. Our first, as always, the question, O of the Week. It's one I've gotten a lot in the last 2 days. What have you been covering? Because usually we're covering football at the end of November and the beginning of December, but our football teams were unceremoniously bounced early, so Mike and I really have been covering a lot of basketball and soccer in the last 2 weeks.
Yes, I've been at the Bosco Winter Classic. I've covered 6 basketball games, I think, in the last 3 days. My head is still spinning a little bit. We've got videos of all of that up at the 562.org, but some super fun games. We've got Long Beach Poly, St. Anthony, and Compton, the top 3 basketball teams in our coverage map, are all in that tournament. So I've got a chance to see all of them in action a couple times at this point. And even more exciting, so we'll talk about more later, we've got a huge game between Poly and St. Anthony in the semifinals Friday night at 8:30.
Yeah, shout out to everybody over there at Bosco who put that tournament together. That tournament was not even a thing a few years ago. And now it's the preeminent tournament other than the Rice Williams at Redondo.
But it's so much better than the Pac Shores at this point. I mean, you know, St. Anthony, I was talking to Alan Cavanis about that. They got into the Pac Shores this year thinking that it was going to be the way that the Pac Shores has been. And basically all of that has kind of moved to Bosco. I'm grateful for that because it's about half the distance from my house to Bosco as it is to Redondo Union.
I think everybody's grateful for that because Bosco is about half the distance to the freeway that Redondo right. Union is to any freeway.
Yeah, for sure. But we, you know, really good teams, really high level competition. Yeah, our guy Burrell Lee hooking up the good media meals. JJ's coming to the semifinal. We're gonna get ham bones, some good barbecue. I'm excited for that. He's had chicken and waffles. He's doing a taco stand tonight, I believe. So good food and great basketball over at Bosco. And definitely, if you're listening to this, come out for that Friday night game between Poly and St. Anthony. The battle for Long Beach is going to be huge.
Yeah, we've also been covering girls soccer. The Morley getting an early start this year. And I have to shout out whoever made the decision to change the girls club soccer schedule back to the way it used to be. For a while there, and this is when, you know, Morley girls soccer was really good with Wilson and Polly making playoff runs each and every year. Those club commitments were into December, so it was routine that we would see half-full rosters specifically for girls soccer here in Long Beach for the Moore League in December because these kids were still with their clubs, and you can't play with your club, and then play with your high school, and then play with your club. You have to do one
legally,
complete
it, right, like,
and then come back and play for your high school. I mean, we've definitely seen teams have to forfeit games
right.
because somebody filmed a kid
playing
in a club game on the weekend
or a Sunday
while
league
they're
or
in high school season. So
I just want to be clear that that's not. It's not. I mean, there should be a physical limitation on that, but it is a rules limitation that you're not allowed to be playing organized ball outside of the CIF during your CIF competition window.
What's really interesting is it's a rule for everybody, but the other sports don't do that. Club volleyball doesn't have a season within high school volleyball season.
Right.
Club water polo doesn't have a season within high school water polo season. They make sure that you don't have to make that decision. Soccer's not that way. But it is, again, like I said, very nice that they've changed it back a little bit to where we get full squads here in December. We've seen a full poly squad go against a full Millican squad in the first more league game of the year.
It was Poly's first game, period.
We haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, I think Millican only played one. You know, the reason for that is, for like in high school, girls volleyball is in the fall for every high school in America, right? In every state.
Well, it's indoors. You can do that.
Right. So soccer, because it's outdoor, some areas, I think even in I think Northern California's fall high school soccer season it's the fall. High school soccer season is the fall. So because of that, the NCAA coaches don't have what they do for volleyball and football where they go, this is when we want to come see you. You know, have your high school season here, have your club season there. Because the schedules are so different, it kind of jacks everything up. Because the clubs, of course, are playing against coast-to-coast competition, and the NCAA coaches evaluating them are going coast-to-coast and have their own schedules. So that's why it's all jacked up.
Yeah, because if you wanted to play Long Beach soccer in February, it might rain, but that would be your only concern. You can't play outdoor
in Georgia,
sports in February
it's a little different.
Other places. So, yeah, right. That's not going to work. But so we've gotten full squads in the games, and like Mike said, it's very early. The Moore League girls starting a lot earlier than really any other winter sport. The boys don't start until Wednesday, the 18th, and the girls are already into their second week. So we've seen a little bit from each team, but we're going to see a lot more from all the teams tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. Millican is taking on Wilson, and Poly is taking on Lakewood. Those are the top four teams in Moore League girls soccer, and we'll have coverage of those games at the562.org. As always, we move on to our athletes of the week. Congratulations to our AOT Dub winners. Thanks again to Naples Rib Company for their sponsorship. Athletes of the week this week, girl power.
Sometimes it's three dudes and one girl on athletes of the week.
We don't decide this stuff before the games happen.
It's just whoever balls out gets athlete of the week. And
yeah,
as you said, it's
as it should be.
It is four ladies this week, two girls basketball players, Kalea Bugs and Vanessa Smith at Long Beach Poly and at Millican. Both led their teams to tournament championships. Both won tournament MVP honors. Both teams signaling that this should be another great year for Moore League basketball. Poly, really the story of last week. Shocking state number two, Modern Day, and state number five, Etiwanda. Poly had been consistently ranked by everyone 15 to 20, kind of thinking they'd be about where they were last year, but they look like a top two or three open division team this year.
Their defense looks like a top two or three open division team this year.
Yeah, for sure. So really excited for them. Millican,
hold on. Is Kalea the last of the Bugs to come through Poly? Carl Bugs' children?
Until the grandchildren start rolling through, yeah. She's the youngest of Carl and Lakeisha's actual kids.
Yes. Carl and Lakeisha Bugs are the girls basketball coaches at Long Beach Poly. If you don't know, you should if you're listening
for
to this
20 years or
podcast
so.
And enjoying Long Beach sports, because Carl Bugs is one of the most successful basketball coaches ever in high school, possibly.
He'd be top
100 most successful high school basketball coaches of all time.
Well, yeah, won six state championships in California, all in the top division. That's the most of any girls basketball coach in state history.
Yeah, there you
pretty
go.
Good.
Pretty, pretty, pretty good. And Bugs is also one of those guys where you're just waiting for somebody to tell Oprah about him so that she can write like a book or do like a Hallmark movie or something. Because this guy's life is unbelievable.
Yes, Oakland native, came down to Southern California actually because he was a dirtbag few decades ago.
That dirtbags team, you are thinking correctly.
Yeah, ended up trying to coach baseball and volleyball at Lindwood High School. Sean Ashley, smart enough to move him over to Poly as the volleyball coach a couple decades ago, and then had to convince him, no, I want you to coach girls basketball. His wife had already been an assistant coach. Lakeisha had already been an assistant coach. And because Sean Ashley made him do it, he's been a girls basketball coach that's won hundreds and hundreds of games and six state championships.
Unbelievable from him. You know what's really cool?
And a good
cool?
call from Sean.
Yeah, and a good call from Sean. You know what's really cool? We covered him. Their teams were very good for. They have been very good for a long time. When you and I first started working together, they were winning championships. And so we're covering them. And I thought, that's a very good basketball coach. Carl Buck's very good basketball coach. In the next season, it's boys volleyball season here in Long Beach. And he's standing on the chair, reffing boys right. volleyball.
Yes.
And that made me think, oh, he's a really interesting person, not just an interesting basketball coach.
Right, and then he told you that he helped build the practice facility at Long Beach State for the baseball team by hand. And you're like, huh?
And I was like, coach, give me a 20.
Right.
Give me a 20. I got to figure this out.
Lorene Morgan at Milliken, also over 500 career victories. So she's been around and won a CIF championship for the Rams as well.
Got pretty good coaches in this city.
Well, we got two teams at 4-0, which is what you love to see to start the season. Milliken actually beat St. Anthony in that Ocean View championship, which is huge to see two Long Beach teams doing that well. But I think we're looking at big years for all three of those teams, as well as we mentioned before, Wilson and Lakewood, who've got some good squads. So it should be a fun year for girls' hoops.
And Smith and Bugs are not just scorers either. They are stat fillers. Both of the stat lines for those girls in the championship games and over the tournament, really, were very impressive from top to bottom. They're not just putting the biscuit in the basket. They're also getting out there in the passing legs and feeding their teammates.
Right, exactly. Okay, moving on, we've got for soccer, Alyssa Reyes got to be the hero. Last minute of the game against Long Beach Poly, knocked in the game winner to go up 2-1 and start their title defense. Pretty good. Nice way to start the league season for Alyssa.
Incredible way to start the league season for Milliken at home against Poly. You get a win. You get a dramatic win scoring with, 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes left in the game. But it was a classic soccer gods goal. Because Alyssa had been the best offensive player for Milliken the entire game. She led the team in shots. She was the one who got the first few shots in the first half. That was very sloppy and very slow. But her offensive prowess in the first half kind of got her team on track. They ended up out shooting Polly in the first half because of Alyssa. But she wasn't able to get the one go at goal where you're like, ooh, there's the highlight. And in the 45th minute, Alyssa, you never got that one.
Right,
until
exactly.
Until 2 minutes later. She's just standing at the top of the 18-yard box. She's just standing there. Ball comes in, nice cross, but a missed clearance lays the ball right at her feet. And she just didn't miss. She just put it to the near side, very simple. She didn't even crack it, really. It bounced before it went in the goal. And as I'm watching the goal, I'm like, yeah, that's deserved. It was a soccer god's goal because the soccer god said, that girl deserved to score. She didn't, but when she did, it was the game winner because, honestly, she was the most consistently effective offensive player from beginning to an end of a very sloppy game.
Speaking of deserved, Haley Harward at Long Beach State's women's volleyball team closed out her career. They had a tough 5-set loss to Santa Clara last week in the first round of the National Invitational Volleyball Tournament. But Haley had a great match, 27 digs, which is tied for her career high. That moved her to 1,602 career digs, third all-time in program history. I would add, Haley was recruited as the best libero in the country and had to play outside hitter for 3 years due to injuries and still ends up
third
all-time in career digs and then also moved to number 9 in program history with 116 aces. And they were really excited about that because the person she moved over is currently an assistant coach with the team. So they were excited for her to get to pass her up.
That's really cool.
That's a good set of athletes of the week.
That's a great set of athletes of the week. Also a great way for that team to finish their season in that the program's trying to build, move in the right direction. Hasn't been happening the last 2 years, but they hope that a strong finish to the season will help do that. Then Long Beach State women's volleyball gets to host a postseason game.
Right.
Postseason games.
Yeah.
See, okay, so that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So this postseason match is basically like the NIT for NCAA men's basketball.
Except that the NIT's been around for a while. Well, it's a name,
In the NIT's second year, it was still the NIT's second year. Like, maybe this tournament does get a little bit bigger. But yeah, this is the women's volleyball NIT, so Long Beach stepped up to host.
Right.
So two games on Wednesday, and then the winner of those two games plays on Thursday, and then the winner of that four group, I guess if you want to call it a pool or a pod or whatever, goes on to play in the next round.
Yeah, I was kind of teasing Joy because she was really trying to sell that, like, you know, it's great for us. It's a step forward to host the postseason thing. And I was sort of like, it's a big deal for your athletic director to say he's willing to do it. I would say that's
the biggest deal, actually.
By far the biggest deal, in my opinion. And then it's nice for the returners to get the extra experience. It's nice for the seniors to not have their last match be a loss in Hawaii instead it's a loss in the pyramid. But other than that, it's like, you know, you finish well under 500. Mm-hmm. It was not the season they were hoping for. And you just hope with basically everyone who played other than the three seniors was a freshman or a sophomore. You just hope that them with next year's incoming freshman class can kind of get them back into at least the running in the Big West. You know what I mean?
Just trying to get to a good building block.
Just get to where it's like feasible that you're competing for conference title. You know what I mean?
Yes. Talking points, Mike.
Yes.
You need off-season talking points.
Right.
You need to put things in bold at the top of scouting reports to motivate your team. And being in the postseason is always a good thing, I think. I also do agree that it's not, you know, what you would want to be or where you'd want to be and all that stuff. But, hey, baby steps when you're trying to get back on the map, you know?
We go to our game of the week, which is, frankly, quite an easy decision.
Yeah, I just mentioned it.
We were waiting all week to see if this happened. We were hoping it would. We were thinking it would. But Long Beach Poly, St. Anthony, or St. Anthony, Long Beach Poly, in the semifinals of the Bosco Winter Classic, Friday night, 8:30 p.m. in the Bosco gym. We're expecting a sellout. They've had great crowds at those games so far. And the battle for Long Beach should bring, hopefully, some loud, big fan numbers.
Alan Cavanis must have visited some sort of Zoltar fortune teller last week because he's finally getting his wish. He doesn't want to be big. He just wants to play the Poly Jackrabbits and prove to everybody in Long Beach that his St. Anthony Saints are the best team in Long Beach. He's been saying it for years.
Well, he picked the right year to have it happen. I mean, I didn't think that they were the last couple years. I thought that, you know, I was more than anything just excited to have two Division I teams, but I thought especially the way Poly played defense was just so much better than St. Anthony. And then they come out this year. St. Anthony is a tremendous defensive team, has blown out their blew out their second round opponent in Gar. I mean, just gave up 13 points in the first half
and gave up
8 points in the second half of their first game, although that wasn't a blowout because they weren't scoring it.
Which is fine, because if you're looking at a team playing good defense, you want to know if their defense can carry them to victory. St. Anthony proved that in the first game of this Bosco tournament against Hesperia. How many points did they give up in the third quarter? Like four?
Two.
2 points in the third quarter?
2 points.
Talk about your halftime adjustments.
And then follow that up with 6 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Dang.
So I think the big question everyone's got in breaking down this game a little bit is, you and I always talk about this. When someone says, what do you think about a game? We don't do predictions. It's not the way you and I – we like covering a game, highlight the kids that did well, and then write about that, right? Like, I don't get into the whole, but we talked about this with the Poly Wilson football game. It was a great game. Was I surprised that Poly won the game? No, but I'm not going to go out there before the game and say, oh, I think Poly's going to win. It's just boring to do that, in my opinion.
So I totally agree.
But what you and I tend to do when we're evaluating games with each other or with people is say, well, line all the kids up and then draft them, right? And then who gets the number one pick? How many people from this team are in the top five? How many in the top 10? Whatever. So I'll say this. Peyton Watson, there's no question, is the first pick if you line those players up.
Duh.
Charitably, probably your next three picks are St. Anthony kids.
Boykin.
And maybe.
Jones.
Boykin Jones for sure. Yeah. Probably Elijah Price, a sophomore big that they have. And I'd say that's being charitable.
Okay.
It might be four of St. Anthony guys before the next Poly guy. But the thing that's fun about basketball is, you see NBA games sometimes like that. And you know what? It's a sport where sometimes the best kid wins the game. It's a sport where sometimes the deeper team wins the game.
Can't just roll the ball out.
No, it's not like football where, listen, if you're going to football, I don't care if you have Peyton Manning quarterbacking your high school football team. If the other team is better than you at every other position, they're going to win the game.
Yes.
That basketball's not like that. And so that's what's going to be interesting about this game. Now, Cav is such a good defensive coach. There's no way they're not going to throw everyone at Peyton.
Right.
I mean, it's just like that ongoing conversation is going to be what's going to be
fascinating.
So it's
going to be strength on strength.
Well, yeah. And Crespi tried to do the same thing last night. The other Jackrabbits stepped up. They had a sophomore score 15 points in Gabe Cummings. They had Wendell Caldwell come in off the bench and score 12 points, mostly from shooting threes as well. So, yeah. I mean, the other thing is this. Cav is a real basketball coach. I hate zone in high school. He'll man up a little bit too.
Wait,
They'll double. You know what I mean?
Why do you hate the zone?
Because play real basketball, bro. Guard somebody.
Whoa!
Guard somebody.
Whoa! The zone isn't, quote-unquote, real basketball?
In the words of Jack Arian, the St. Anthony basketball coach that their gym is named after, quote, zone defense is un-American. It's just more fun. It's just more fun to watch. Obviously, we were watching guys go one on one, and I think they'll double Peyton to get the ball out of his hands more than they'll do what Crespi. Because yes. here's what Crespi.
Well,
did.
It's very difficult Crespi to double in the zone for sure.
Well, but that's what Crespi did. They sit in a 3-2 so that if Peyton got the ball on the wings, they could double to him, right? So, but they're in a 3-2.
Oh, they're bringing the guys off the baseline.
Yeah, no, they're just, no. That's why they got three across the top so that they can trap on Peyton or whatever, okay. Right? But when you do that. Basically, what you're doing is you're taking the beautiful chess game of basketball and you're saying, can this team shoot threes? And then Pauly could, so they won the game.
Right.
But you boil all that stuff down into, for me, such a boring aspect of basketball. So we'll see. Now, St. Anthony, infinitely more athletic than Crespi. They have dudes that could go up with Peyton.
Right.
in a double situation or whatever. So we'll see what happens. But we're really, really fired up for that game. We're going to have the whole crew out there. So be sure. Come by. Say hi, too.
What does that make me a basketball nerd if I like that? Like, I enjoy watching
basketball fan.
If I'm playing, if I'm cutting video, like, from a game or something, and Ohio State, Minnesota, you know, it's middle of January, the dog days of the winter schedule. Ohio State, Minnesota men's basketball is on ESPN. It's like the 4 o'clock game or something. I will watch that because I will enjoy watching Minnesota try to break down the Ohio State zone or vice versa. Like,
right. How
do you do it? What do you do? Because you don't have to be in the zone. You can switch back and forth. Like, I enjoy being able to call different types of defense and then watching a team adjust to that. Mm-hmm. I guess I get kind of bored with NBA basketball in that I know they're going to be in man every time down the floor.
Right. I prefer that. I prefer, let me see your best guy versus their best guy, you know, whatever else. And obviously, NBA has evolved on, you know, moving the ball more and stuff like that. But anyway, that all brings us to our quote of the week from the aforementioned Peyton Watson. Asked him about the game. Obviously, St. Anthony stuck around after their game last night to see who their potential semifinal opponent was going to be. So there's a lot of clapping, a lot of people very happy that it's St. Anthony Pauly. I asked Peyton about it, and he said, you know, it's another non-league game for us. There's been a lot of talk about it, but we're just going to come out and play. And then he threw in there, and this will be in our preview, quote, we're going to just come out and play and protect our rep as the best basketball program in Long Beach.
Nice.
So it's like, so it's not just another game.
Well, St. Anthony's definitely not looking at it like that. Like I said, Alan Cavanis has taken on the Moore League.
But you know what? But what's interesting is they will talk about it that way. The mm-hmm. kids are going to know that that's not the case. But I got a chance to talk to him for a second, too. And he said he's taking the approach we always tell people to take when you're trying to unseat a team from a throne like Pauly's been on as the top team in the city for 120 years or something. He's saying, I don't want my kids tight. So I'm just saying, let's come out and play. Like, you're 10-0.
Yeah.
Just keep getting better. If we get better against this team, then cool. If not, then, you know, whatever. But he doesn't want them to be tight, and he doesn't want them to have a letdown if they lose. So it's just, let's coach improvement, let's coach effort, and see what happens at the end of the game. And he's got good reason to feel good about his chances in the game also. They're in that unique situation where you haven't beaten Pauly in at least two decades from what we've been able to find. But you would be, you know, if you take the names off the jerseys, you'd for sure be the favorites in the game as a 10-0 program going up against a young Pauly team that's kind of figuring itself out.
Very interesting. Whoever wins that game on Friday will play in the championship game for the Bosco tournament. Bosco tournament, really the last local basketball tournament that we have, because once everybody comes back after the holiday break, it's game time. It's league time season.
For 2 months and then playoffs for 5 months or however long those drag out for this year.
Speaking of tournaments, that brings us to our list of the week. And I'm just thinking best tournaments. Like what's the tournament that gets you super excited? I think I would say the NCAA basketball tournament is the best tournament, hands down, no question. Like the setup for it, Selection Sunday, Final Four, doing it in the same location over 3 days. I just think they've got it down pat as to how you would want to watch a tournament. Be ready for it, execute it, and then give you a final weekend of, you know, like a flourish at the end.
The NCAA tournament is so good, the format of the tournament, that it overcomes how horrible most of the games and like level of basketball being played in it are. You know what I mean? It's such a good tournament that you can enjoy watching a basketball game where both teams are a combined 27% from three or something.
Well, you know, it's kind of like watching the U.S. Open or the British Open in golf. Like, yeah, watching the John Deere in the middle of the summer where people are 22 under is fun.
Right.
But I'd much rather watch a professional golfer look like me on the golf course and struggle to get the ball out of the rough. That's more enjoyable to me. So I do kind of like, watching teams struggle a little bit. And when the lights are bright, and especially those early morning games on Thursdays and Fridays, dude, right, those things are helter-skelter, and I really enjoy them.
I think this year in March, the country is going to find out that they moved the three-point line back by a foot. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think nobody knows?
Well, I just – people – I mean, way more people pay attention to the NCAA tournament than pay attention to regular season basketball.
Yeah.
And for me personally, as the college game has mimicked the pro game and it's been more layups or threes, I found last year's tournament particularly – I didn't watch a lot of first halves because I found the number of bricked threes really difficult to stomach. Huh. So I think this year there's likely to be more of them. The basket's further away from where they're going to be shooting from. But yes, I don't disagree with your pick on the tournament, though. It's the perfect tournament format.
I haven't seen any numbers on whether or not the percentage, like overall in the country for three-point shooting has gone down in college basketball.
It hadn't gone up for Long Beach State.
No.
No. I'm going to go ahead and say this is sort of interesting, but I'm going to say the NFL, even though some people probably don't like the NFL format, I like that you get your weird games. You get first weekend's weird games. Wild card games, you're going to get at least one super weird game,
yeah,
right? The second and third weekend, so the divisional round and then the championship games, those are my favorite periods of being a sports fan.
Divisional round for the NFL playoffs is the best weekend of the NFL.
By far.
But that's why I would say it's not my favorite playoffs, because
period as a sports fan,
it doesn't finish on a high note. It's like the high note is 3 weeks before the Super Bowl.
No, but that moment where you go, and it could, for example, this year be Niners, Seahawks, Saints, Packers.
Oh, it's four great
then,
games
like,
every
Ravens,
year.
Ravens, Patriots, yeah. Chiefs. You know what I mean?
It doesn't get any better than that.
So, and that, yeah, that's that for me. And there's always one crappy team thrown in there. Like the Cowboys will win their wild card game they're not supposed to, or
wow,
something. You know, like
but Jason is cringing in the back of the room
well,
right now.
But you know what I mean? Like there's always one team where you're like, you get to the wild card round and you're like, let's get all the favorites win.
It's usually the winner of the first game on Saturday
it's
of
usually,
the wild card weekend.
They call it the NFC East team.
They call it the Shakey's game. No, yeah. It's the Texans. It's the Texans every year.
No,
what are you talking
in
about?
In the NFC, it's either the Eagles, the Giants, or potentially the Cowboys this year. And in the AFC, I was going to say, it's always the Houston Texans.
Every time. I'd say Major League Baseball playoffs for me, number two. Every pitch counts. Like from the moment they start the wild card, it's like anybody can win. Anybody can win. We've seen anybody win. We've seen the team sneak into the playoffs and win. We've seen the 100-plus win team win it all. So it's all possible. You got to be watching every single pitch. It's so, so exciting. And the idea that, like, they want to change it or, you know, well, baseball's in trouble or whatever, no. As long as baseball owns the month of October, the sport of baseball will be fine. And the reason why they own the month of October is because the playoffs are must-watch television.
I'm going to basically say the exact same thing you just said, but about the NBA playoffs. I know some people think they're
too long, Mike.
I know some people think that. I feel that way about baseball's regular season, but I don't, which
just
you
make,
don't.
Just make the first round five games. What's the problem?
Well,
what is the problem?
What's the problem with an extra 2 days of basketball? I mean,
if you have 18 playoff series going,
sounds
it adds
great.
Up, dude.
Sounds great to
it
me.
It adds up.
I love my favorite thing. You watch the last regular season game of the year. You watch inside the NBA on TNT.
Yeah.
And EJ signs off with, we got 40 games in the next 40 days. Like, I love
Jimmy
knowing.
Christmas.
And I've been traveling during the NBA playoffs. I've been at home working. I love knowing no matter what else is happening in the world, I'm going to be able to get home from work, get home from a game at any time because the games will go to 11 and put on playoff basketball and hear and have a great crowd and good teams. I love the tournament. I love how long it is. I love knowing that I've got a month where it's just basketball every night.
You wouldn't change anything about the NBA playoffs?
I love the NBA playoffs.
Man, you wouldn't reseed? Like after each round, reseed?
I would probably remove the conferences and just go give me 1 through 16.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But if you did that, then the tanking in April would be so much worse.
Correct. And you would also have what it would do would be it would make the second round forward better. Like the it would make the first round much worse because number one in the NBA versus number 16 in the NBA is like make it one game. We don't even need five games. Right. You know what I mean? But I would do that just because, you know, I mean, we've always seen it with how heavy the West is. It might be kind of the flip this year with the East, but you just always see it where it's like, why is the three seed from this conference like so terrible and they're playing a terrible five seed or six seed versus, you know. I think last year someone did the here's what it would be if they just did 1 through 16, and it was so much better than what we actually got.
Yeah. Well, I just mentioned about baseball being in trouble, but their playoffs are saving them.
Yeah.
Basketball's in trouble, dude. Like the games that are going to happen this year in April with teams tanking, jockeying for position, load management, sitting their superstars, those tickets don't get discounted. People are going to be paying full price for watching half of their favorite basketball teams in April this year.
Right.
It's going to be a real problem, and then we're going to have to wait a month until we get quote-unquote entertaining NBA playoff basketball. They've got to change something. Maybe do a tournament for the top pick. Like, do play one tournament at the same time and then take the bottom half and play that so the winner of the bottom half tournament
gets
the top
pick. Have you heard about the proposals they've been kicking around? They've been kicking around.
There's a lot out
there. They've been kicking around. Well, they're like formally investigating a midseason tournament, which
I think midseason's a bad idea.
I just think, like, if you feel – I mean, here's the thing. They're never going to reduce the number of games because it reduces the revenue, right? Like, your TV deals are set at blank number of games. But
if you don't care about long playoffs, why don't you just make the month of April also the playoffs?
Well, that – right. Like, but to me, if you're saying, hey, the ratings are down, which they are – they're pretty seriously down for this season. If you're saying, like, the regular season's too long, then, like, get off the boat or stay on the boat. Like, either shorten the regular season –
Can we also
or
say,
don't, like, I don't think the gimmicky mid regular season tournament is going
to
help anything.
Can we also say we all need to stop judging sports popularity by how many people get logged on the Nielsen rating?
Yes.
It's not how people watch sports anymore,
especially basketball.
I watch a crap ton of basketball. I don't think I've come up on anybody's Nielsen rating in like 4 years because I don't have that type of cable.
I think you also have to separate what are things that the league can control or what are things that they can't control. They can't control the fact that Zion got hurt. I would have watched probably 15 Pelican games by now if he was playing.
True.
You know what I mean? They can't control that. They can't control that the Warriors lost 6 Hall of Famers in 8 games to injury.
Also true.
And
boy, I hope selling their soul to the devil was worth it.
It was. our friend Whitney would say that it was definitely worth it. I just don't think – like, the Lakers are great. I've watched more Lakers games this year than I have since I was – ever.
Yeah.
Maybe high school, maybe that 2001-2002 season. But like, outside of the Lakers, I mean, the Clippers are clearly playing for the playoffs. You know what I mean? The Clippers are clearly trying to be a top four seed
and
play for the playoffs.
Every top four team should be.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the setup for being a good regular season team doesn't help you in the postseason in NBA basketball. It just doesn't. So what's the point? There has to be.
Just to host game 7.
Yeah, there has
You're
to
playing
be a point.
6 months to host game 7.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's a good transition to move into our closing segment here talking about the Lakers and Clippers. I just want to say I love watching the Lakers, man. I just genuinely, they happen to be the team that I've always rooted for, and they also have everything that I love about the sport of basketball. They play smart. They play great defense. They play great defense while playing exciting basketball. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like great defense and we're trying to slow the game down and win 90-80.
Yeah, that's,
they can do that, and they can win 142-122.
That start in Orlando last night after a couple days off following AD's 50 points against the Timberwolves was so reassuring as a Los Angeles / California sports fan. I've watched so many of my teams mail it in after a big performance. Great game, incredible. Next time they come out, you're like, oh, they're sleepwalking.
Right.
I watched, speaking of the freaking 2001-2002 Lakers, bro.
And you just keep waiting for it to happen.
Season. Yes. And it's not happening. You didn't need to come out and outscore the Orlando Magic. What was it, like 30-8 in the first quarter? Need to do it.
I believe they gave up 9 points in the first quarter, yeah. LeBron James, that's all I have to say about
Tripped
that.
Tripped up, baby, 25, 10, and 11.
But I just think that
if you need them.
I just think that culture of what you're talking about is – you know, it's funny, there's always going to be a media narrative criticizing LeBron, criticizing the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative right now is, are they peaking too early? Are they burning too much jet fuel? LeBron James has never in his 17 years averaged less minutes per game than he's averaging this season.
Love it.
They're 22-3 and they're not grinding.
sitting in the weeds, just waiting.
But don't you feel like you just feel like they're in cruise control, but their cruise control is 22-3.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like they're, I mean, I would agree if Braun was playing 40 minutes to win a December basketball game in Orlando.
Yeah.
But I just, it feels like they're doing what you should do, which is load management within the game, right? Like, take the fourth quarter off.
Yeah. Just gotta stay healthy. Gotta protect these guys. I think Vogel's doing a pretty good job of it so far. Gotta continue to do it. Knock on wood on that health thing. Kawhi Leonard looked pretty healthy last night in his return to Toronto, scored 23 points in a big victory. Most interesting thing in that game, however, was the ring ceremony that they did for him, which was just him getting one ring. I think Kyle Lowry gave it to him, which was cool.
Deserved. Did you see the ovation thing with the footsteps for his shot? Oh my gosh.
Standing ovation. They did it great. Congratulations, Toronto, for being a good franchise and saying thank you to a player that delivered you a championship.
Your first and only championship.
Memo to the rest of the NBA. That's going to be a thing in the future.
Oh,
players are going to be bouncing around from team to team, year to year. Don't boo people.
Right.
If somebody brings you to a championship or even wins you a championship, say thank you. These are things we teach children. These are things we teach in kindergarten. If you go to a place and someone did something for you, say thank you. Good on you, Toronto. Way to do the right thing.
You saw them on the same night. You saw the Magic were booing Dwight Howard, right?
Thank you.
I was just like,
this is what I'm saying.
You're booing the best player you've had in the last 15 years right now.
Yeah, it was not Dwight Howard's fault that he was the only good player on that team. He took to the finals.
Well, it's like, yeah, like how many exciting Magic players have there been since Dwight Howard left? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's rough, dude. Victor Oladipo is the answer to that question. So the Clippers are 19-7. LeBron and the Lakers are 22-3. Again, we've said this a few times. They are playing on Thanksgiving. Haha. We will be giving thanks because they would be playing each other on Christmas. And I said it before the season that I didn't think we'd get a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, LeBron James game where all four superstars played.
We need it.
But knock on wood.
We need it Christmas.
If
we only get one, it's got to be Christmas.
That's what I bet. I bet that there would only be one. And if it's going to happen, we need it to happen on Christmas Day. Absolutely. All right, we got to get out of here. Got presents to wrap and games to cover. But before we do, we got to do our recommendations. Something you guys should be checking out. We usually do non-sports. Mike, you got one this week?
Magic for Humans, Season 2.
Oh, sweet.
Very excited to check it out. I would be excited to check it out even if your wife had not worked on it. But I'm even more excited to check it out. Are we allowed to say that there's a 562 Easter egg in the show? Keep your eyes out in the background for a 562 logo.
Hell yeah. Shout out to my wife, Vanessa. It's really, really cool to see your last name on the credits of a Netflix show. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot cooler for her because it's like, you know, her name
or
whatever.
It's her actual full name.
But yeah, it's something else. You know you're living a different life when you're pausing Netflix shows to take pictures of the credits to send to your other family members. Like, look, Ma, she made it. It's really amazing. She does all the decorating of all the sets. So if you see like that first episode, if you watch Magic for Humans on Netflix, which you should, make sure you check it out. That first Santa school. She made that whole thing. They walked into that, and it was just an open Kiwanis Club lodge. And she turned that entire thing into a Christmas wonderland for Santa school. My favorite touch that she did in that one was she put the visor on the coat rack behind Santa. Because you know those old pictures of Santa where he's got the visor on, and he's like doing the naughty nice list?
Yeah.
That's my wife, dude. She's freaking wicked smart. Wicked smart.
All right, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation.
I went first because I assumed that was going to be your recommendation.
That's great. Yeah, can we just do that one? Magic for Humans is both of our recommendations for this week. So check it out. It's on Netflix. Leave a 5-star review. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Like we said, a lot to cover, a lot to put up on the 562.org. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else that helps cover local sports like you, our fine subscribers. We'll see you in the stands this month. Take care, Long Beach.